hour number two of Michelle and Junie. Junie Riddle here, Nick Keyser in studio on this Saturday morning, talking about the Nashville Predators, the NHL draft, and NHL free agency this morning. But first, tune into Nashville Sounds Baseball tonight at 6:35 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan. The Sounds take on the Memphis Redbirds, AAA affiliate of the St. Louis Cardinals. Sounds Baseball on 94.9 The Fan is presented by 312 Pizza Company, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Family Leisure. Junie Riddle, Nick Keyser again here back in studio. Nick, before the break, you said you've been seeing a lot of signings in NHL free agency. Who is going where, and how much are they getting?
Yes. So the first one to me that I saw was the matter of Jonathan Quick has not gotten anything done yet, I believe, from what I've seen. But one deal that I find intriguing is Oliver Ekman-Larsson is going to be going to South Beach with the Florida Panthers. So that is an intriguing deal for me. It's for 1 year at $225 million. So that's an interesting deal for me. He just got bought out by the Vancouver Canucks. And if that tells you the merit behind the buyout, I don't know what else does, because he was making a lot of money. He was still being paid like a Roman Yossi. So he is getting a good bargain. This could be a special Florida Panthers team still, depending on what they look like this fall. But that's a good deal for them. Cam Talbot is the goalie that is signing with the Los Angeles Kings.
He was more or less
an interesting guy to watch this year, kind of struggled at times. So he was just in Ottawa. So that is an intriguing part to me, is I thought maybe he'd stay. He didn't have a very good season, so he just didn't get acclimated very well. And so he is going to be joining the LA Kings. More or less, he'll just probably serve as a backup, maybe compete for that starting job. We'll see what training camp looks like. But there's not really been any other big fish in my eyes that have been taken away off of the board yet. But I am kind of seeing some buzz around some other guys. There's still nothing on Duchesne. I've been trying to keep my eyes on Duchesne. Tried to get a gauge on that yesterday to see where he would be going. But like I said, too, with Elliott, he said that JT Compher and Ryan O'Reilly have interest and would maybe fit the Predators' gauge for what they're looking for. I don't know about Ryan O'Reilly, but you could maybe see JT Compher maybe get offered something. Apparently, he had interest from the Red Wings and the Predators. So we'll see what happens there, and I'll try to let you know, to our listeners and Junie and Frazier, if I hear anything about our glorious RFAs in the Predator system as well. So, but yeah, we'll see what everything's looking like, but that's your brief free agent update in the NHL.
So a few things I wanted to get into in this segment. Number one, I kind of want to look into the Preds lineup that we currently have. You had a tweet yesterday that I found really interesting, that eight of the players that were in these, that were in the lineup on opening day last year are no longer with the team.
Right.
So I want to get into that. But what we posed before the break, and this is something that as soon as the selection of Matthew Wood happened at 15 on Wednesday night, made me think of this. And it also kind of happened when Oliver Moore was selected at 19 to the Chicago Blackhawks. I was like, oh boy, here we go. Because to me, with as much hype as Barry Trotz had put around the center position and trying to find that true number one center, Oliver Moore was a guy that a lot of people were talking about that could be a potential fit at 15 for the Preds if he was even going to make it there. Because in some of these, you know, he was looked at as a top 10 prospect along with Matthew Wood, and it seemed like these two guys were always neck and neck by the NHL evaluators that put these guys into ranking. So what I kind of want to discuss with you is do you think the Nashville Predators made the right decision going with Matthew Wood over an Oliver Moore? And do you think potentially that this could come back to bite them, knowing that Oliver Moore is going to be that number two center to Bedard going forward in their prospect?
So I'll let you kind of feel out how you would gauge this as well after I tell you. But I think what's very unique about taking Wood is you don't really get the opportunity to draft someone that has already filled out into a prospect that could make a difference for you in about 2 to 3 years. he's going to be in college. That's the biggest thing for me is he's going to still be learning. He can make those small mistakes here. And I would like to see him have a big year this year like anybody would. So when I'm thinking of do I pick a guy that you don't get to see very often in the draft or do I want to take the little bit more of a safe pick with the centerman? Now, I wanted to see the Preds maybe jump after a centerman. They didn't, but they felt okay with what they had on their board. That's at least what we heard from Barry Trotz, Jeff Kelty. So taking the winger, it sounded like that's what their plan was all along with him being there in their rankings. And so obviously time's going to tell. But when you can get a 6'4" guy that's 200 pounds and that is versatile and can do a lot of different things, he compared himself to a Tage Thompson, by the way.
Yeah.
He also went to UConn, and that was an easy comp for him. That's what he told us. But if you think you can play anything like Tage Thompson – who, by the way, tore it up this year with the Buffalo Sabres. I thought he played really well with them. And it took him quite a while to round out into form after being with the St. Louis Blues. And he was also part of the Ryan O'Reilly trade, funny enough. So he ended up going over there to Buffalo. And he's been tearing it up ever since, trying to help them back on the rise. And that's a good little comparison there for sure. And I think taking a guy you wouldn't see fall past 20 – I think that's a great pick by the Preds. And if they feel content with the centerman that they have, that's fine with me. And quite frankly, after Trotz has bought out Duchesne, he's traded Johansson, he has to be looking for something else that's bigger. He has to be finding some type of veteran, in my eyes, that is appealing to their franchise right now, whether it's right now via free agency, maybe it's a trade. Not really sure. There were a couple contracts yesterday that got moved for almost nothing. So I'm curious to see what they're going to do.
So going back to your point about how he compared himself to Tage Thompson, Tage Thompson had 47 goals and 47 assists, a total of 94 points in only 78 games played. That, my friend, is ridiculous.
Yeah,
I mean that's pretty good.
He made up for lost time for sure, but he still was over a point per game guy.
Well, and Buffalo was also they didn't make the playoffs this year, but they were in competition.
They were
in
close.
And out of that wild card spot. They were one of those teams, you know, Panthers, Penguins, Sabres. They were all like right there trying to fight for that final spot in the Eastern Conference. So obviously him being a big part of that. You know, both guys out of UConn. You know, Tage is sitting at about 6'6". We're looking at Wood being about 6'4", still some room to grow.
Yeah, both are really big guys.
But my whole thing about, you know, them comparing him compared to Oliver Moore, you know, Moore is a bit of a smaller guy. There were some questions. You know, he's more or less that evaluators didn't really necessarily know what this guy's going to be.
Right.
He could either be a huge hit or he could be a huge bust.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when you look at a guy like a Matthew Wood, the size differential, like you mentioned, he's 6'4", over 200 pounds. You can't teach that. And he's only going to grow bigger, stronger, faster as he gets into, you know, his second year in college. And I presume that he'll move over to the AHL eventually.
Yeah, I would say so. Now, what's unique about juniors as opposed to college junior, and we'll hit this really quickly just so you can kind of get a gauge for what you can do. So when you're junior, Zachary LaRue, he's now 20 years old. So he can no longer play in juniors because they have an age limit for that. So he's done. Your birthday has to be – it's kind of like school. Like you have a certain point in time where your birthday falls and you can't be this – like you can turn 20 during the season but not before it starts is really what it is. So that's kind of the same thing with when you think about prospects. Now with college – doesn't matter. You can play 4 years in college, and then the Preds can say, hey, after you finish your junior year, it's still in the middle of the AHL season. We're going to throw you over here and see what you look like. That's something that you can do. It's also something that you can do in junior, because if the guys don't make the playoffs, you can send them over here. Kind of like what Kimmel did was he finished his year over in Europe, came over here, played in Milwaukee, played in the playoffs, and you can do that. But in terms of a full season, you can tell anyone now, hey, are you ready to turn pro? And then they'll sign that deal, and then they'll come over here and play. So that's more or less what you get out of some of these guys. But one thing I kind of wanted to share, I'm trying to get down here to it. I was trying to get to what I was told by a couple of, you know, whether it's Molendijk or Wood. But when I was talking to both of them, it was pretty cool to me that, I mean, they were very forthcoming with what they had to say. And all of these draft picks before, a lot of these guys did a really good job with just describing their game. And so, yes, like I said, youngest guy. One thing I really, really liked about what Molendijk had to say, he wants to develop his 200-foot game. And as a defenseman, you need that 200-foot game in your repertoire of weapons. So that's a good thing for the Predators. And I know for me, the elite skater is going to come out, and it could come out for Wood too. Bigger guys have bigger strides. So I do like that personally, and we could see them take advantage of that for sure.
But be honest with me, when the Chicago Blackhawks at 19 took Oliver Wood after Bedard at one, it stung a little bit, right?
Absolutely, because he's someone that could make an impact pretty quickly. I would say within 2 years, maybe even the next year, depending on how well he can develop. So I don't know if that's going to be the looming thing that we need to compare all the time, but I think it's very cool that the Predators decided that we would like to take someone that doesn't come across the board very often, and we can find the centerman of our future with time, and we can develop them. So for them, that's what Barry said. Let's marinate them in the minors, and so we'll see how well they can do that.
All right, Nick Kieser thinks that Matthew Wood is a better selection over Oliver Moore. With the rivalry between the Preds and Blackhawks, I think that that decision is going to get brought up in the future, whether it was the right choice or not. But transitioning over to the Tennessee Titans, there have been a couple of big news-worthy things happening over there with the Titans. Nicholas Petit-Ferrer being suspended on breaking the NFL's gambling policy. We are going to react to that in the second year, right tackle for the Titans, missing the first six games of next season. You are listening to Michelle and Junior here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.
My question for you is just how damaging do you think this actually is for this team and the prospects of this group heading into this season with a six-game suspension to kick things off?
Yeah, well, I think one of the things that so many of us were talking about with this team was the improvement that was going to happen on the offensive line, and now it shuffles, right? You got to figure out a way to replace a guy who was a starter for 16 games last year. Obviously didn't have the best year, but there was still, you know, room for improvement, and he showed promise, and it's a different ball game now. It becomes a question mark.
That was TD reacting to the Nicholas Petit-Ferrer suspension for violating the NFL's gambling policy yesterday on Robbie and Rex Road. Welcome back to Michelle and Junie. Junie Riddle, Nick Kieser in this Saturday morning. You can always listen to us and watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook live every day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. So, Nick, the other day it came out that Nicholas Petit-Ferrer, Adam Schefter, tweeted out his message that he wanted to get out to the fans and to the public prior to the announcement. And he is going to be receiving a six-game suspension because he did not gamble on NFL games, but he placed a bet, whether it was inside the Titans facility, whether it was on the plane, whether it was at the team hotel while they were on the road. He violated it, the gambling policy, in that instance. Mm-hmm. So I want to get your reaction to this first, and I'm going to get into this because this is not the first time that we have talked about this same instance on this show. But when you heard this news come down that the Titans are going to miss their starting right tackle, a guy that's going into year two, a guy that's hoping to break out this season,
mm-hmm.
what were your initial thoughts?
So this news came down yesterday, I believe, with – yes, it did. It came down yesterday. And it was very intriguing to me that they were able to – come down swiftly like this, and it's quickly, and the Titans had a statement ready for it for the most part. And I just find it so interesting that more and more cases are coming out, and it's now we have Titans guys that could be under the microscope of all of these things. And what doesn't really help the case yesterday for bad press is the fact that Hassan Haskins also gets in the press too with all the strangulation things that are going on there with his girlfriend and being, you know, put in jail for that. And just the Titans are not, they don't have a good look on them right now with some
of
these players.
Not at all.
So, I mean, it doesn't necessarily, more or less reflects them. It reflects poorly on the organization as well, but look, it's not a good look. I hope that they're able to bounce back from it like anyone else. They deserve to be, you know, treated as human beings and be forgiven, but this is something that they need to have as a wake-up call in their lives. And, you know, even for Nicholas, hi, my name too, but and Frazier's as well. But, you know, I heard it and thought initially, just you got to get your crap together. Like, you are a professional athlete. You and I have talked about this. And athletes, I don't care if you gamble, but I feel like there needs to be a cut and dry rule, whether it's NFL, NHL, they can be a different type of rule across a league-wide just whole scale is, okay, here's our parameter for gambling. Approach it this way. And, you know, part of me is just wanting to say, how about we don't gamble at all during the season? And then when you're in the off season, when you got time to yourself or you're not playing, go for it. But make sure it's not in the same league. And like the way that, you know, Nicholas got busted was he did it on team grounds.
Yeah.
Okay. He does it on there. You got, there's IP addresses, people. You are being watched all the time. So people have access to your connection. So just remember that. Like, you need to be so cautious with where you are and what you look up and where you are when you do it. Just be cognizant of that. That's the entire message to all of this. And I feel like that's where you're going to be coming from too.
615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What is your reaction to the Nicholas Petit-Ferrer suspension? I will tell you this. When it came out originally, because, you know, we saw this with Calvin Ridley when he got the year last year for betting on actual NFL games. I'm like, that's fair. Absolutely. If not even longer. Like, if they would have said, Calvin Ridley, you're out of the league, we don't want you back, I would not have been against that. I would have stood with the NFL in that decision, being like, this affects the reputation and the integrity of the game. But on the flip side, I cannot stand this rule, and I said it when the suspension to Jameson Williams came down. I am not wavering from this point. I've had people tweet on me. You know, football and other F words have been all over me about this. And I'm going to stand pat. I'm saying it right now. This whole suspending players for six games for just betting on different sports just because they're inside the facility is ridiculous.
I agree.
The NFL... If you had to take a guess, how much do you think the NFL makes on sportsbooks a year? Just really quickly.
Man.
Take a wild guess. Shot in the dark.
In the billions for sure. Oh, I'm saying $600 billion.
Wait, 600? Oh, that's that's a lot.
That's a lot.
600. I'm just, 600 million.
Listen, it's a Saturday morning brain.
How about 2 billion?
2 billion is the correct answer.
No way.
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
so across,
go,
so here, sponsorship revenue totaled at $2 billion across all 32 NFL teams in the 2022 and 2023 season.
Wow.
A new league record and a 14% increase from year to year.
Wow.
And on top of that, you're telling players they can't bet in a building that is named after a sports book. Look at the Saints.
I know.
The Caesar Sportsbook Dome.
Yep.
It's named after it. And you're saying that the players, if they're betting on the NBA, their college football team, baseball, whatever, that they can't make a bet just because they're in the team hotel?
See,
it's so hypocritical to me. I get it. It's a rule. They need to follow the rule. But The Athletic also came out and said they pulled a bunch of these players And a lot of them did not know the rule. So it's obvious that the NFL and certain individual teams, like the Colts, like the Lions, mm-hmm. and I guess now the Titans, have not made it clear to their players that this is one of, this is part of the rule of the NFL's gambling policy.
Mm. Yeah.
And I cannot stand it because it's so hypocritical that these guys. And on top of this, Jacksonville's Cam Robinson, their starting left tackle, he just got suspended for PEDs. He only got 4 games. You want to talk about protecting the integrity of the game? You got guys that are using performing-enhancing drugs to elevate their play, and they're only getting 4 games, yet while a guy that places a bet that has nothing to do with the integrity of the NFL, wrong place, wrong time, didn't listen in a meeting, is going to get 6 games.
Well,
make it make sense to me.
Remember,
it doesn't make sense.
Last year too, and then remember, this was the first time I got fired up about it too. Remember when this was before D-Hop even got released, or maybe it was around the time. It was pretty close to it when I was filling in with you. That, you know, remember revisiting all these suspensions, all these different things happening, PEDs, all that stuff, and this falls under the same umbrella. DeAndre Hopkins, remember, missed six games last year for what again? PEDs. Now someone misses 4 for the same thing, and then you got Nicholas, who is missing the same amount of time too. Petit Ferrer got caught for gambling. Like you said, I think this is very frustrating, and there's not a very clear and cut line with how this needs to be judged.
I just think it's so stupid. I think the line should be, don't place any money that has anything to do with the National Football League. Anything else, we don't care. If the teams can sit here collectively as a league and make $2 billion, that's only going to go up from year to year, and you're going to be tripping about players betting on different sports? Like, get out of here with it. You cannot make that make sense to me.
Nope.
Whatsoever.
Nope.
And on top of that, the Titans, and again, you know, people are criticizing because they're like, oh, well, you're changing your stance because now it's a Titans player. No, I said this on this show when it came out about Jameson Williams. Now, this is a tweet that I sent out the other day when this all came out. Notable edge rushers, because we all know in the Titans schedule how big these first 6 games are. Specifically these first 6 games, because in week 7, that's when the team's bye week is. We've talked about it, how they need to get off to a good start, or changes could be made on this team. Big changes.
Yes.
These are the edge rushers that the Titans are going to be playing. Notable edge rushers. Week 1 for the Saints, Cam Jordan. Week 2, a pair of them, Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack.
Dogs.
Week 3, another good pair, Myles Garrett and Za'Darius Smith.
Dogs.
Another pair after that, Sam Hubbard and Trey Hendrickson for the Cincinnati Bengals. And then they play the Colts, Kwity Paye. He's kind of up and coming. He's getting a little bit better, still young. And then Odafe Oweh for the Ravens. He's also a guy that they're expecting him. I know he's not a big name now, but they're expecting him to take a big jump.
Right. Hey, before we hit the break, I just want to mention this. First off, $600 billion comment, outlandish. Sorry about that. Real thing, though, about the gambling situation. You know, I feel like the NFL has to really get nitty-gritty with this for this to get better. They're going to have to start investigating case by case. How much was wagered? How much was put on this certain sport? Because you can't just go out willy-nilly and just give out a 6-game suspension to just as like a cut-and-dry, you know, suspension thing for each player. That's unfair in my opinion. Like, for example, if one player puts out a $100 bet and then another person puts out a $20 bet, yeah, there should be a difference in suspensions for games, in my opinion.
Here's the deal for me, and this is what I'm going to end this conversation on. A guy gets less time for taking PEDs than a guy making money betting on a different sport. And in a different case, if you do bet on the sport, you get a longer suspension than a guy that had 24, 25 sexual assault allegations over them. Listen, the league needs to get their priorities straight. If it's not affecting the integrity of the game or the view of the public on the league, then you need to let it go. 615-737-1025. If you have a comment on the NFL gambling policy and how they are treating some of these players that are not betting on the Shield, give us a call, shoot us a text. We want your opinion. But coming up next, a story that's much worse than this. And again, this is allegations that we're talking about. Hassan Haskins gets arrested for some pretty disgusting things that he is being accused of. We are going to get into that next. You're listening to Michelle and Junie. Junie Riddle, Nick Kieser on this Saturday morning on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Welcome back into Michelle and Junie. Junie Riddle, Nick Kieser in on this Saturday morning here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Just got done talking about Nicholas Petit-Ferrer and his six-game suspension for violating the NFL's gambling policy. We transition to another player from the Titans' 2022 draft class, talking about Hassan Haskins and him getting arrested. And honestly, I thought this was a couple days ago. No, he got arrested, I think it was on June 22nd, according to this article on Yahoo Sports.
And it's just now coming out?
Yeah. So I think it was because the details on this are so gruesome that people probably had to wait in order to really kind of get some of the fine details. So before we get into any of this, you know, this is all alleged.
Mm-hmm.
None of this has proven to be fact.
Court of law.
And you are innocent until proven guilty.
Right.
But obviously, with some of these details coming out, it has to have a shed of the truth at minimum. So, according to arrest warrants by Scoop Nashville on social media, Hassan Haskins and his girlfriend began arguing on June 22nd over his girlfriend liking an Instagram post.
Oh, great.
During the fight, the warrant says Haskins allegedly began to strangle her with both hands on the bed for possibly 10 to 15 seconds.
Mm-mm.
She stood up and they slapped each other. Green told the police she fell on top of her dog crate where Haskins strangled her for a second time before letting her leave.
Goodness.
The warrants say the photo showed bruising to her right cheek, a scratch and redness on her neck. The argument escalated days later at a restaurant, with each leaving separately. Once she returned home, Green told the police she threw up a cup, shattering it on the floor. Haskins alleges Haskins punched and kicked the door in half when she tried to lock herself in. It goes on and on. So, but what really, really kind of got my attention after all of this, you know, strangulation is enough, but it's this part. When Miss Green, which is Haskins' girlfriend, went into the kitchen and grabbed a knife because she was going to slash his tires, apparently Haskins got his gun and cocked it and says, "I hope you would." And then she put the knife down.
Wow.
So they both end up getting arrested. They're both out on bond because they both, you know, did things to one another. But this is ugly.
This is ridiculous.
This is ugly.
Okay, so I specifically didn't look more into it because I thought you would let me know. This is the first I'm hearing of some of these details. Like,
really?
I knew about a lot of the strangulation part. I did not know about the gun and the dog crate the second time around. Just the whole situation in general. This is very discouraging for the type of character that he has.
Over liking another guy's Instagram post.
Well, so,
like, really?
Like, you have to think very little of yourself internally to feel that way. And look, I'm sure every single person that has a phone and that has friends, there may be certain times when you feel a certain way about someone liking something. Look, just get over it. Like, it's a post. It's something you can talk about. It's something you can say, hey, maybe don't do that next time.
It's childish.
Like, and even too, that is, like, let me give this perspective too. You have to go click on the likes to figure out if so-and-so likes another person's
post. So essentially what he's doing is creeping on her page in order to see who she's liking. And not only this, Nick, I'll put it to you this way. He was doing some of the same things because apparently he smashed her phone into the ground.
Mm-mm.
And she goes to his other phone.
Ridiculous.
And opens it up and finds a bunch of naughty pictures on Snapchat from other women sending to him. So it seems like he wasn't the super innocent party in all this either.
I get it.
I will say this, Nick. I will say this is what makes me mad. Because as men, you know, more a lot often than not, we have the size and strength advantage over women, especially in a relationship. And for him to take it to that magnitude, like, dude, you have your whole future in front of you. This is year two for you. And we talked about this with Nicholas Petit-Frere. This is supposed to be your breakout year. This is the year you're supposed to show that you belong in the NFL. And the fact that you're doing this over an Instagram like?
It's ridiculous.
It is so childish. You've got, as a man, you've got to be able to contain your emotions. You have to be the voice of reason in the room. You have to keep your cool because stuff like this could happen.
Okay, so he's 23. So right in our age bracket for the most part. And let's keep this in perspective too, not trying to weigh him out like an MMA fighter or anything, but he's 6'2", 227. That's what he's listed on.
He's huge.
Yeah. So this is just really sad. But look,
I mean, what do you think? He's got like 100, 150 pounds. Shouldn't say 150, but
I don't know how much more it is.
100 pounds, 6 inch. Like, I mean,
yeah,
it's minimum.
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 He's 6'2". Look, this is bad. This is really bad. And the type of factor that he was last year at times when the Titans needed him. Look, if I'm Vrabel, I might tell him, I don't want anything to do with you for a while until you get your crap together, man. Like, this is dumb bleep that hurts the team.
This is way more than dumb bleep that hurts the team. And I'll tell you this. I personally, with what he did when he came in last year, was not impressive to
Mm-mm.
me. This was his opportunity because he was going to make this team as likely the third back on the roster.
Yeah.
That's what he was supposed to be. But with all of this coming out, I guarantee
it would
shock me if they don't just cut ties with him. Obviously, they're going to let the legal process play it out, and they don't want to just cut the kid based off of false allegations. And again, this could all be proven wrong.
Well,
we're mentioning this multiple times. This could all be proven false. But as of right now, with what we know, if at even half of this is proven true, he's got to go.
Well, and
he has got to go.
Here's the really tough part about it too is, you got training camp that's coming up too at the very end of this month now. So it's coming up, and he probably won't be able to get in front of a judge or any, like, all this is gonna bleed into preseason, maybe the regular season when he can figure something out, like what this process is like. Now, if I'm the Titans, I'm thinking to myself, I've got to put him on leave, or I've got to put him, you know, I've got to cut him or something. Like, he's gonna be able to train for sure, but this is going to be looming over him for a very long time. I'm not talking a year. This is going to be on him for the rest of his life, but he's going to have to deal with his mistake. He's going to have to move along. This is going to have to be a new chapter for him at some point in time. So when this happens and you're the culprit, allegedly, we have to wait, like Junie said. But now the legal process has to play out. They're out on bond. Hopefully, you would really hope, depending on what the situation's like, is that they can forgive one another, play this out, and go forward and move on with their lives. Either way, he's a pro football player. This will stay with him forever. I don't care what he does next. This will stay with him, and it is not a good look on him, Junie.
And I'll put it to you this way. You know, Ray Rice, back in 2013, with the whole video of him, you know, knocking his significant other out.
Never the same guy after.
Well, no. He never played again.
Yeah,
He never played again. No one gave him an opportunity. And we're talking about a three-time Pro Bowl running back.
Yep.
That was a consistent 1,000-yard per year player every single year. And one thing, he was 26 years old when this happened.
Mm-hmm.
He had three or four more good years to go in the league. And it's done. So Hassan Haskins, a guy that was drafted last year, did not, you know, play a lot. And when he did play, didn't necessarily impress whatsoever. So, you know, with that being said, honestly, if this comes out to be somewhat true, I he's done.
Yes.
Like, he's gone. I think he's done.
I will add this. So if the Titans were to cut Hassan Haskins, they would save roughly a little over $1 million. which possibly could lead to, I don't know, maybe signing a free agent tackle by chance to kind of fill in the void. Maybe an Eric Fisher, you know, just as a one-year deal.
George Fant. Western Kentucky alumni.
That's right.
I'd like to see
that's right.
So, either way, it's all allegedly, you know.
Again, this is fresh. This story came out yesterday afternoon, so still a lot of details to iron out. But still, awful look for Hassan Haskins.
Not good.
Awful look for the Tennessee Titans in general. The last couple days with the Nicholas Petitfrere, with the Hassan Haskins, it just kind of makes you think, like, okay, who's in charge of this ship, and whoever it is needs to get a hold of this and get this team and these players back on the right track, because this just isn't doing it for me. But we're gonna conclude the Titans talk. We're gonna wrap the show up. ESPN yesterday made some huge layoffs with some sports talking figures that we all grew up watching. We're going to get into that in some bets for the weekend to wrap up the show. You're listening to Michelle and Junie, Junie Riddle, Nick Kieser here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game. Final segment of the day, Michelle and Junie, Junie Riddle and Nick Kieser in on 102.5 The Game this Saturday morning. Guys, we still need a new show name. You know, Michelle is moving on down to New Orleans. She's on to bigger and better things. And with Nick coming on full-time with me on the weekends, we have got to figure out some names. So if you have any name ideas, tweet at us at Junie Riddle and at Kieser Nick, or just text us on the WilsonCountyHyundai.com phone or text line, 615-737-1025. But that is small news in comparison to what was released out of ESPN yesterday. I mean, all stars getting
cut. Jason Fitz.
Guys that I grew up with. And I'm going to list a bunch of the notable ones out right now. Jeff Van Gundy, Jalen Rose, Keyshawn Johnson, Max Kellerman, Matt Hasselbeck, who comes on this station with Caroline Willie and D-Mace weekly.
I know. Derek was very concerned about him.
I would be too. Matt Hasselbeck does a great job. Steve Young. Mm-hmm. You know, he's on Monday Night Football. I mean, Steve Young? Really? Rob Ninkovich? I like Rob Ninkovich. Let's see. Todd McShay. How do you let go of one of the best draft analysts out there? Any competing, you know, sports broadcasting company is going to pick him up. I feel like Fox or CBS or somebody is going to come in and just throw a lot of money to Todd McShay.
Mm.
And then also, you just briefly mentioned him. Former on-air personality here with us at 102.5 The Game. Comes on Stillman & Company weekly as well, Jason Fitz. And
yeah,
there are more names with this as well. David Polak. You know, he's on game day for college football. I mean, I grew up watching these guys.
I know.
And then I'd say the number one that hit me the hardest was Susie Colbert. 27 years at ESPN. I mean, you want to talk about iconic female sports talking voices? Susie Colbert is that person.
Man, it is so frustrating to see some of these talented individuals lose their job, and you know, they're going to get a lot of phone calls. I really hope that they get the right jobs next for them and their careers. You know, for some of these people, they could end up just accepting that their career is coming to a close. A few of them, not all of them, but they have all had very, very good careers. They have a lot on their resume. They have achieved so, so much. And, you know, Jared, I really didn't know too much about this. I knew Jason Fitz had been here at 102.5 The Game, and I had heard him some growing up too. And originally, it was interesting that Jason originally, like, had no intention. Like, he was waiting for a job to come around and then landed here in the meantime before he went to ESPN full-time. He was doing some hits here and there. Then finally, he broke through and was taken. So that was amazing to see. He came out of the Nashville market. He's a national voice. You know, he's a product of this area, and that's a phenomenal achievement. And so now it's like it's over, and I am so disappointed in what's going on. I know Disney has had a lot going on too, with a lot of layoffs, and you know, obviously Twitter with all the buzz that's going on today with it being what it is.
Yeah,
you know, they laid off a lot of their company too, and I mean, there's just like Vox Media is another one too that let go of a lot of its people. And just the turn of the events in this market in the United States right now is very unforgiving. And even the Athletic, you know, they had several cuts,
yep,
as well. Several really good hockey writers that I know lost their jobs, and other writers did too. But there's just so much to go through.
It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate part of this business, and a lot of media companies are getting hit right now with the state of the economy and everything. But there is one person I did forget to mention, and I think my mom would get upset with me for getting this person, because this guy was her favorite. Every time,
ooh,
every time,
it?
Every time in the morning we'd wake up for SportsCenter or whenever, Neil Everett.
Oh yeah, right.
Neil, he always had like the catchy, funny thing that went along with the hot. He would say something super corny and offbeat, but like, it was always super funny in the moment. And I remember my mom just always, whenever I would be watching SportsCenter before I'd go to school, and if Neil was on, she would definitely join me because she liked all of his funny comments
that
he made.
So, I did too.
But yeah, I mean, it's just shocking that some of these people got left go.
Man.
You know, Jalen Rose and Jeff Van Gundy in particular, being, you know, the number one color analyst on the NBA broadcast, and we know how big ESPN is with the NBA. Max Kellerman, a guy that, you know, he was on First Take, the number one rated show for the longest, and he got bumped down, I would say, what was it, like one or two years ago? And
something
now
like
he's
that.
not even with the company anymore. So I don't know. I think a lot of these people are going to get picked up. It's just crazy to me with some of these cuts, especially Susie Colbert. I mean, she's been at this longer than I've been alive.
Man,
I've been alive. So
I will say this: she'll probably land a job somewhere on the NFL Network or something. Because,
oh, I guarantee it.
Yeah, like you guys both have said, you know, with these resumes they all have, they're more than probable they're going to get a job elsewhere. I mean, prime example, I'm a big baseball fan, so watching the MLB Network now, you have former ESPNers like Brian Kenny and what's his name, does the MLB Central, Robert Flores, Roflo. So, like, you have some of those guys that come out there and they find another job on a different network, probably for the league they want to cover. So it all kind of works out in the wash.
Mm-hmm. All right, so do you all want to get into some individual bets? I do want to get Frazier's NSC parlay, but the one bet I want to throw out there for the weekend is going to be in the MLB and my Pittsburgh Pirates. Last night, I've been raving about it all morning. This morning, walk-off homer Carlos Santana, two-run homer to win the game in the bottom of the ninth, and I think that they're gonna do it again. I got the Pirates +1.5. And give me the over on 8.5 runs. I think they're going to make a statement with the Brewers. I think they're getting a little bit healthier, getting a bit back on track. But I'm taking my Pittsburgh Pirates today against the Milwaukee Brewers.
Okay.
You got an individual pick for this?
I didn't really have anything too much on tap, but I will go check out Superbook really quick just to plug our best sports book here. I know that Zen Sports is something else that we have on the midday show as well, but so make sure you use promo code DMACE for that. I'm going to try to plug both of these, but just taking a look at Superbook here really, really quick. I'll go over to the Major League Baseball and see what we got going on here tonight. I want to see if my Tampa Bay Rays are playing tonight or not. But
you're a Rays fan? I didn't even know that.
I am a Rays fan, yes.
They're really, really good this year.
They are. They are very, very good. They are taking on the Seattle Mariners. They are -117 tonight.
Easy dub.
I would imagine so. So I will take the Rays, obviously, and I'm gonna take the under 7 runs tonight in the matchup. I think that'll be good. They're taking on the Mariners, like I said, so should be a fun matchup over there. And I'll give you one more, because why not? Just really quickly, let's take a look at boxing, because obviously it's Saturday, so why not?
Fight night.
It is. So tonight it's Callum Smith versus, I'm not even sure how to say this guy's last name, Artur Beterbiev, I think is how you say Beterbiev? His last name. I don't know.
I'm not an MMA guy. I'm not
Artur Beterbiev. I don't know. Let's see. But they're ready to rumble tonight. And let's see. Callum is a +275. I don't know. I'll take this guy, Artur. Artur probably, just because I can't say his name.
Out of respect for messing up
his name.
Yeah,
he'd probably punch me in the face for getting it wrong. But that is what I will do tonight. Now, Frazier, if you got anything back there behind the glass, let us know.
What's the parlay of the day?
I do. So Nashville SC obviously played a night at home against DC United.
Big game.
You know, I'm going to keep it safe here. A lot of people are like, oh, the Hani Mukhtar train, yada, yada, yada. But I'm going to go with it. I'm going to stick with it here. +490 is where I got it on the book that I have. Hani Mukhtar, anytime goal scorer, +105. Hani Mukhtar, three or more shots on target, +195. Over 1.5 goals. And if you want to play it safe, Nashville SC money line for a little sprinkle.
Hold on. Okay. We got some breaking news real quick to end the show. Breaking news from Shams in the NBA. Breaking. The Portland Trailblazers star Damian Lillard has requested a trade out of Portland. Sources tell The Athletic the Miami Heat and Brooklyn Nets are among the leading suitors for one of the NBA's 75 greatest players. So Damian Lillard has officially requested a trade. That's big time news. That's big
wow.
time news.
That's huge.
That is insane.
That might be going to Miami.
Miami, or don't sleep on
maybe
don't sleep
so.
On Philly. Maybe don't sleep so. On Philly. I think Philly has a shot at this.
And so I'll give you this one nugget before, and I know that Junie and I will be on the air coming up on Monday, so hopefully I've got more on this, but there is no contract update as far as Alexander Carrier and Cody Glass go. There's nothing officially done, but we could see them possibly go to arbitration. Now, we'll see if one depth forward I can mention. I don't want to say his name until the deal is done. I'll let you know on Monday, but the Preds could be busy today, so stay tuned.
Absolutely. Holiday weekend. Everybody enjoy their 4th of July celebration. Tune in from 2 to 6 for Nick and I filling in for Jared Stillman, who will be out for the holiday. We will give you all the latest with the Titans, the Preds, and free agency. You're listening to Michelle and Junie here on 102.5 and 106.3 The Game.